A very famous mathematician is buried in Poland. This man, in this grave, chose these words for his tombstone. I do not seek a kindness equal to that given to Paul, nor do I ask for the grace granted to Peter, but that forgiveness which thou didst give to the robber, that I earnestly pray. This fella had and showed some thoughtful humility. When you think about humility, there is another Bible character who showed great humility, and that is a man by the name of David. One of the places where we see David's humility is found in 1 Samuel chapter 18. We'll start with 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 2 and 3. In 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 2, the Bible tells us that King Saul took David into his household. You also find in these two verses that Jonathan, the king's son, became a very close ally. It's almost like he became David's best friend. Now, if someone had these two experiences, if they had the king's son as their best friend, and they had been brought into the king's household, the king says, you're going to live here at the palace with me, they might brag and boast. But that's not how David thought, and that's not how David lived. As you look at 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 5, as you go down a little further in the text, you find that David received a promotion. In that verse, the Bible says that David was set over Saul's men of war. In other words, David was put in charge of Saul's military operations. Here is a fellow that, as you look at the first five verses in 1 Samuel chapter 18, this guy is climbing the ladder. This guy is making progress. This guy is on track to really become someone great. David is so successful that he begins to catch the eye of some local women. In 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 7, just two verses later, the Bible says the women sang. They sang one to another. And here's what they were singing. They said, the king has slain his thousands, but David, his tens thousands. A lot of women sang about David. They boasted about King Saul, but they bragged even more about David. Saul was not too happy with the singing by these ladies. In fact, he was quite upset about it. As you move down a little bit more in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 11, the Bible says that Saul took a spear. And there were two separate occasions where Saul tried to pin David against the wall, and David avoided death on both of those occasions. Now imagine, David, you're someone who has been attacked by the king on two separate occasions, and you live, you survive, you're not injured on either of those occasions. There would be some people who would be cocky, there would be some people who would be haughty, there might be some people who boast about that. But David, there's no indication that he ever bragged or boasted, he never lost his humility. Then as we come down just a little bit more in the next verse, 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 12, the Bible says that Jehovah was with this young man. Saul was afflicted by an evil spirit. The king was on the decline. David, the former shepherd boy, he is getting closer and closer. It takes a while, but he's getting closer and closer to the throne. Some would experience such a reversal in fortune, and they once again would be haughty. They would be anything but humble. But that's not how David lived his life. That's not the kind of thinking that he had. And then as you get down to 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 14, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and Jehovah was with him. So here again, as a young man, it's almost like he's on the fast track. Sometimes people are humble when they're poor. Sometimes people are humble when they're downtrodden. Not every poor person is humble, and not every rich person is proud. But humility has often destroyed people who come into money or who come into power. When you look at David's life, he was confronted when it came to humility on a number of occasions and in a lot of different ways. He eventually obtained money. He eventually obtained power. And you know, before David obtained that money, before David obtained that power, he also had popularity. Let's take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 16. But all Israel, now imagine that, the entire nation, all Israel and Judah loved David. Here is a guy, everywhere he goes, he's popular. Here is a fella, he is maybe the most popular man in the nation. All Israel and all Judah loved David. There have been heads which have been turned for a lot less. There have been hearts which have been lifted up with pride for a lot less. But in spite of all this, if all these items were not enough for David to cast off humility, there's something else. Moving down just one more verse in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 17. And Saul, he's the king. Saul said to David, behold, my elder daughter, I will give her to you to be your wife. Marrying the king's daughter, becoming the king's son-in-law, would have been really something. Now it's true that Saul had an ulterior motive for making this offer to David. And after this offer was made, after the king said, you can have my daughter to be your wife, here is how David responded, 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 18. And David said unto Saul, who am I? Who am I? And what is my life or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king? One of the things that made David a great man was his humility. The Bible has a lot to say about humility. In fact, if you were to look at this topically, you would find that there are probably in excess of 100 references to it. And one of the first things that you find about humility, if you begin to study it, is that it is grounded in God. You heard perhaps for the scripture reading, and maybe it was a surprise to you if you listen carefully, but God is a humble God. We heard for our scripture reading first, or our Psalm 113, verses 4 through 9. Let's go back and take a look at part of that reading. Psalm 113 and verse 5. That, talking about God, God humbles himself. Did you know that verse was in the Bible? That God humbles himself? God humbles himself to look down upon the earth, if you will, and look at what's going on. That is an amazing thought. There are people in life, they sometimes see themselves as too important, or they see themselves as too valuable. They see themselves as too powerful not to be a humble person, and they're exalted with pride. Well, if God is willing to humble himself, then what should be true for people in the world? The next time, if you're ever tempted to think that you're really something, if your heart's lifted up with pride for some reason, go back and reread Psalm 113. The Father humbles himself, but he's not the only one. You may remember that in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29, Jesus said, "I'm meek and lowly in heart." Jesus also affirmed that he is a humble person. When Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, he talked about humility. The wording is slightly different than what we would normally expect, but in Matthew 5 and verse 4, he said, "Blessed are they that mourn." And he's not talking about the people who are just sad. He's talking about the people who would mourn, the people who would be concerned about sin. The people who mourn over sin are humble people. When you think about humility, it is one of the signs, it is one of the marks of a true and great faith. Someone says, "Well, I struggle with humility from time to time. Pride is a potential problem in my life. What's one of the things that might help me stay humble, especially before God?" It can be our past. In Deuteronomy chapter 15 and 15, the text says, "And thou shalt remember that thou was a bondman in the land of Egypt, and it was God, Jehovah thy God, who redeemed thee. Therefore, I command thee this thing today." When you think about humility, God said, here is a way to remember it. Remember that you were in this particular state. Remembering our past can be one of the things that helps us remain humble. A person's heart can be lifted up if he or she forgets about the past. Maybe our past was never filled with bad things that we left, but the past certainly would have been a past which was lived as a non-Christian until we became a child of God. Even people in the world recognize this. Sometimes you'll see, maybe it's a famous country singer or it's someone else, they talk about going back and getting back to the roots. Ever hear that from somebody? What are they saying? They're saying they need to go back and see where they came from. They're saying they need to go back and remember what life was like before they became rich or famous or powerful. And that's a good thing. They remember their past. If our life has been bettered and we are a Christian, we need to seek humility. And one of the ways that we can do that is through prayer. Back in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, we have a fairly famous text. "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray." When it comes to prayer, God responds partly to our attitude. God looks at our attitude when we pray. Do we pray in humility or do we pray with a proud spirit? Humility can be found in both what we say and how we say it. And those are two things that we need to watch when we pray. One of the most valuable things in life for us is humility, and to make sure that we keep that as far as a Christian virtue all of our days. In Psalm 9 and verse 12, the text says, "When he avenges blood, he remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble." For the person who is poor, for the person who is suffering, for the person who is distraught, if that individual will humble himself or herself before God, God's promise is, Psalm 9 and verse 12, "I will hear your cry. But I want you to be a humble person." If that's what God does for the humble, then imagine what would we expect when he does, how he responds to the people who are the opposite, the people who are the proud. Some of God's best and most famous servants have been people who had great humility. Here are a few examples. First one comes from Abraham. Back in Genesis chapter 18, verses 27 and 28, the Bible says, "Abraham said, I who am but dust and ashes." Abraham was a humble individual. As Abraham approached God, he compared himself to dust and ashes. Most people don't like dust, and very few people have much of a reason to use ashes. Abraham recognized his sinfulness before God, just as Jesus described in Matthew chapter 5. Here's another one. What about Moses? Moses was great. Moses was the lawgiver. Moses was the one who led literally a million plus people. And yet the Bible says in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3, Moses was very humble. Moses was more humble than all those who were on the face of the earth. There's an old story about a man who received a badge because he was so humble. It was a church group. They gave him the badge, and the man liked the badge so much he began to wear it, and the group took it away. Humility can be challenging to develop. It can be even harder to maintain. And yet, as we think about humility, one of the great qualities that stands out is that it is part of being a great servant of God. We've also got some information about John the Baptist. Let's take a look at him. In John chapter 3 and verse 30, John, he had done a great work. He was the forerunner of the Messiah. If there was anyone who should have been proud, if there's anyone who should have had his heart lifted up, it could have been him. Look at me. Look at my work. Look at what I'm doing. I'm introducing the Son of God, the Savior of the world, to society. And yet John says in John 3 and verse 30, he must increase, that's Jesus. And John says, but I must decrease. Out of all the people who ever lived, Jesus said that John the Baptist was one of the greatest. And yet, in spite of all of his greatness, John said, I must decrease. I must stay a humble man. John said, I have to take a back seat. Humility is an essential part of the Christian life. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 27, Paul asked about glory. He asked about boasting, having a heart which is lifted up. What part of the Christian life lacks humility? In Romans chapter 3 and verse 27, Paul says there is no part. Every aspect of the Christian life needs to be humility. If we are a Christian who is in school, we should be a humble person. A lot of young people are not humble, especially in today's world. In our homes, we should be humble people. Young people should be humble in their homes. Did you see in Ohio, not too long ago, they were talking about, this was within the last 42, 72 hours, they were talking about crafting a bill which would pay children to go to school. Pay kids to go to school. Humble children say to mom and dad, you're the parent. You tell me what's right, and I will obey. Mom and dad should be humble people, humble with their children and humble to each other. When it comes to the workforce, if we're out there in the secular workforce, we should be humble people. That should be our general demeanor. We may not be the brightest person, or we might be the brightest person in our circle of contact, in our circle of contacts. We might or we might not be the hardest or the best worker. We might or we might not ever win top awards. But regardless of our status or station in life, we should be humble people. It's not wrong to do a good job, a great job. It's not wrong to be the best at what we do. But wherever we are, as far as the scale, when it comes to poor, good, or the best, we do need to be humble. It's not difficult to see the connection between humility and success. People say, I'm doing well, things have gone great, and my heart's lifted up with pride. We understand that. But let's look at it in reverse. What about times of adversity? Should humility also exist during times of affliction? Well, that's a question that a lot of people never give much consideration to, but thankfully the Bible answers it. Over in the book of Job, the first chapter, Job 1 and verse 21, Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. Jehovah gave and Jehovah had taken away. Blessed be the name of Jehovah. Job is the one who lost it all. Job is the one who had it all. He seemed to have it all in terms of family and friends and health and wealth. But as you remember the story, Job, of course, was someone who in his life got to experience some special afflictions from Satan. The devil was given special access to Job. And yet after Job loses everything that is almost imaginable as far as what a person might possess, what's his attitude? Job is still someone who shows humility. He said, God gave and God has taken away. And that is the end of the story. Job's example tells us that humility is really for all people. We can think, well, I'm not rich, I'm not powerful, I'm not all these other things, so pride is never really going to be a problem for me. Only a few are rich and powerful. And we may never be the best at anything that we do, and that's okay. We may never be the most popular in life, and that's okay as well. In fact, as we look at our life, we might see our life as completely ordinary. I had one lady tell me one time that her life was so ordinary that she was just dull. Now, I don't know that's a very exciting kind of life to live if you think that you are living a dull kind of life. But maybe in her mind that helped keep her humble. But the one thing that we have to have is humility. That is not only a good thing, that is a required thing. When you look at the world, have you ever found that it watches for those who are not humble people? And when the world sees people who are proud, they usually have some labels for that kind of proud behavior. But when the world sees humility, it often takes note, whether the person is a religious person or not, the world takes note of that and looks at that oftentimes in a very respectful way. One of the ways that we can be a light to the world, and there are a lot of different ways, but one of the ways that we can be a true light to the world is to show humility. And sometimes that humility is seen in the church. It needs to be there as well. People in the church who are not humble people are a detriment to the Lord's work. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 16, Paul said, "Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things." But he said in the church, "I want you to associate with some people. I want you to spend some time with some people." Paul, who should we spend some time with? He says, "You seek out the humble people and you be willing to associate with them. Do not be wise in your own opinion." Don't be stuck up, is what he's saying here. Make friends with those who seem to be ordinary folks. They're probably humble, and you can learn some things from them. In some congregations, there's someone like the mayor, and everybody wants to be his or her friend. That's not humility. Learn to be a humble person in a place where we worship, and that doesn't mean that we have to sit in a corner and never talk to anybody. But it does mean that we need to have that right attitude that's associated with humility. It does mean that we don't think that we're better than other people. When people are proud, they do think that they are better than others in some respects. Humility means that we recognize that we do have some personal weaknesses. It means that we, as we perhaps look at our strengths or think about our strengths, it means that we do not boast about our own strengths. It also means that we acknowledge that we can learn and grow. The next time you're in a game, and we do have one of those coming up sometime soon, the next time you play a game with someone, it may be an adult, it may be a young person, be a good winner. And if you are the loser as far as a contest, learn to be a good loser. Learn to thank the person for playing. Be kind, be courteous, and be gracious, regardless of the outcome. Have you ever noticed how bad losers leave an impression on people? And it's usually not a good impression. Learn to win well and learn to lose well at an early stage in life. If something comes up and we don't know the answer, be humble enough to say, "I don't know." We can maybe look at that together. I can look at that and get back with you. But be humble enough to say, "I don't know." There's nothing wrong in saying, "I do not know the answer to that question. That's outside my knowledge base." But we'll see if we can get the matter resolved. We have hymns which talk about humility, and there are reasons for this. When you think about the Christian life, it is not only all about humility, but it actually begins with humility. A person must humble himself or herself before God. And that humbling says, "I'm a sinner, God. And I'm not only a sinner, I can't save myself. No matter how much I pray, no matter how much I give, no matter how much good I think I can do, God, I cannot save myself. I need a Savior." And with that humility, it expands a little bit more into saying, "I need to believe in someone who can save me, and that's Jesus." Repentance involves humility. Repentance says, "I can't do the stuff that I've been doing. I can't continue to live in the way that I've lived in the past. That way is wrong." That requires a great deal of humility. And then to confess Jesus as Lord, there is humility there too. That final step of baptism into Christ is also, it's not humiliation, but it is humility. Submitting to that act, saying that I want to put on Christ as my Lord and become a child of God. And then there is that humility that takes place every single day as we live the Christian life. Knowing that we still mess up from time to time, the repentance, the confession that's associated with the Christian life, humility is a key part. It is an integral part. Sometimes we sing songs about humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. God will not do that for the proud, but he will bless the humble. This morning, where's your heart? Is it in the right spot? Are you someone who's been struggling with pride? Is humility one of those qualities that perhaps you don't think about? Is it a trait that you've been chasing but have not been able to yet find? If so, those things are probably items that you can work out to some degree on your own. But if we can help you with those things this morning, we'd like to. If you want to humble yourself and take those steps to become a Christian, faith, repentance, confession, baptism, you can do that today. If we can help you humble yourself before God, we'd like to do that and do that now as we stand and sing.